You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello there, and welcome to the hosts of Westworld, a fan critical podcast. Today we're covering episode 3, titled The Absence of Field. Once again, I'm joined by... What are you laughing at?
It's just the title of the episode.
Weird title.
Weird title.
Yeah, well, it is a weird title, but you know, you've crashed my intro, so cheers, Gaz.
Soz, mate.
All right,
I'm here, this is Gaz, hello. Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, I was all right until you ruined my fucking intro. We have got the other Minute Man here. So, hello, Len.
Hello. How is everyone doing in isolation?
Mate, can you fucking cheer up, honestly?
I'm isolated, mate. I'm isolated.
We all are.
It's tough. You know, it's tough for everyone.
Look, unless you're in fucking Sweden or Belarus, right? You're stuck indoors, all right? Simple.
True.
I'm going to ask you a question before we begin this this podcast. So I'll start with you, Len.
Yeah.
What's the most productive thing you've achieved since we last spoke?
Productive?
Yes.
Wow, that is...
Yeah, good luck answering that.
You can't say Call of Duty.
Well, Gaz...
You had a shower.
Yeah, Call of Duty...
You had a shower the other day, didn't you?
I had a shower. I showered today. Call of Duty, I've been playing a lot of that, but I think I went and got... Well, like just before the shops closed here, I had to go get a little hammock. It's not a little hammock. It's actually a massive hammock bed for my dog because she's a Great Dane puppy and she's growing very fast and she can't sleep on our hard floors because of the joints. So I went and got that hammock and put that together and it's sitting now and taking up the whole of my front room.
I mean,
who buys
a fucking hammock for a dog? Like, they just sleep on what, cushions and stuff.
Nah. They've got bad joints, mate. They need to be elevated off the floor. A lot of research done on this.
Right, fair enough. Yeah.
This is what happens. With you, this is what happens when human beings get involved in evolution.
Yeah,
mental.
We fuck up evolution horribly. It's like it's like little French bulldogs that can't breathe properly. Why have we made that?
Yeah, that's true. Well, talking about little French bulldogs that can't breathe properly, how are you, Gaz? What's the most productive thing that you've done in the last week?
Nah, see, I'm gonna ruin this because I've actually been so productive. I've completed an essay for my master's degree that I'm doing. I've marked an entire class worth of work.
That's your job.
And
that's your job.
Yeah, it's my job. So he's still working. And moved into a house, so I'm putting together bookshelves.
Rubbing it in.
Bookshelves and wardrobes and chests of drawers. So I've been super productive this week, mate.
Good. Very good.
Yeah. How about you? I mean, can I just say before you answer that, Just remember, you did tell me what you had for dinner last night. So be honest about how productive your week's been.
Yeah, I mean, not very. I think I've researched every single company that delivers beer within London. And the one that I decided to spend money with is now 8 days late with the delivery. So that's good.
He's
running dry. I did find an Aussie corner shop in Canary Wharf near to where I live, and spent £20 on some Tim Tams, some shapes, and some twisties. So, that was good.
Very good, mate.
And also, I've started having ice cream sundaes instead of actual dinner. So that's what I do now.
It's all fun at the McCann household.
Yeah, ran a laugh, ran a white laugh. Honestly,
yeah.
Why don't you bring your ice cream sundaes over to mine, and we'll chill on the hammock with the dog.
Yeah, that's got to be a euphemism.
I'd come along, but I've got to put together another shelf.
Mm. Anyway.
That's not a euphemism at all.
That's good.
Anyway.
Well, look, Gaz, other than, you know, putting shelves together, can you also explain what the blueberry system is and give us your score of this week's episode?
I sure can, mate. The blueberry system is our system of rating all media that we consume. So you can have 0 blueberries at the very bottom and 5 blueberries at the very top for the best of the best. One important rule: no halves allowed. So we have to round up or down depending on where you're leaning. This episode of Westworld, it was a massive relief after last week. I was really concerned, and yep. I think I expressed that concern throughout the episode of our podcast last week. But this week was a return to form for me. I loved being back in the seriously cool future world that they've created. Mm. Whether it's reality or a simulation, I don't know. I wouldn't care to speculate just yet. But I love it. I love it. I love all of their cities and their vision of the future. It's excellent. At the moment, there are some very good mysteries. And I think Westworld always has had mysteries, but sometimes they've been overly convoluted or just sort of infuriating rather than intriguing. These mysteries right now are intriguing me. Like, I'm talking sort of who's Charlotte and is Caleb a host? There's a couple of hints, I reckon, today in this episode that he is, but we'll come to that, I'm sure. And the soundtrack as well.
Stay out of my corner. Stay out of my corner.
I'm staying out of it. Don't worry. I'm not in it. I'm just looking at it.
At it.
And the soundtrack. The soundtrack was excellent as well. I'm going to give this 4 blueberries, which I think is a very good score, generally speaking. I have to say,
out of 5,
I really like this episode. I really liked this episode, and it was close to getting 5. I really enjoyed myself watching it.
Mm. Fair enough. Sorry, you caught me swigging a beer there.
well timed.
Yeah, well, there you go. Mm. I should have spluttered all over the mic. Thank you, Gareth. And then just the sound of me sucking alcohol out of this fucking mic. That'd be grim.
Oh.
Chance beer.
Who's Mike?
No, it wouldn't. No, don't touch that. Anyway, so that's good. Oh, look, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Len, I'm going to shoot over to you. I'm feeling like you're going to keep the positive vibes.
Yeah, definitely a vast improvement on last week's episode, which...
Are you with us today? Because you don't really sound like you're with us, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah?
I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. It's a vast improvement. Last week's episode was terrible, like atrocious, and we said it was the worst episode of the show ever. And on reflection, I think that is true. I will say that this, being back in Future World, is just so much more fun and interesting. Like, I get kicks out of seeing the little, like, touches they put on the world. Like, the ambulances and the police cars and all the cool tech that's going on. Caleb is by far the most interesting thing about the show at the moment. So let's double down on that. And I'm glad that this episode kind of did do that in a way, but also sort of brought up a new idea within the show, which is that of an identity crisis, which is what whoever is inside Charlotte is having. And I think that poses a new interesting dynamic and philosophical question for the show, because I was getting a bit tired of the, oh, is it free will? Or is it a simulation kind of thing? But now we've got this interesting question, which is, what does it mean to be, you know, who you are and who is inside Charlotte Hale at the moment? We don't know. We don't know. In the theory corner, there's going to be some theories I'm going to float to you guys.
I have a theory.
Of course, that is now called Westworld Wanderings or Crazy Many Theories. So I'm really excited about this storyline, actually. And I didn't realise, I mean, Tessa Thompson is a fantastic actress, so let's use her as much as we can.
I don't think we're making the show necessarily.
Aren't we? No.
Aren't we?
But that's obviously what they've gone for. Like, she's a fantastic actress. They need to get her in more of the show. I think this is a great way to explore her character. And her as an actress, she's getting to play a really fun role here. Like, I just think it's a much needed different beat for the show to have amongst this cool futuristic world and the addition of Caleb. And even Dolores softening to have a more sympathetic approach to a human, or who could be a human, who knows. So for me, it's a 4 blueberry episode.
Cool.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Here comes John to ruin the day.
Yeah.
I'm Grumpy John.
Yeah. All right. Fucking hell. Yeah, I mean,
my beer's late and I eat ice cream every day for dinner. I am grumpy.
Yes.
All right, it was an ice cream sundae, so I've got some class. I mean, I didn't enjoy it as much as you two, I've got to say. It was better than last week. I just have a massive issue with some of the things that they've set up in this episode. And I don't know whether or not it's me or not, but the problem with Westworld is you end up watching an episode, and particularly if you're doing a podcast on it, you're kind of trying to second guess everything. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, so they are, everything they're doing with Caleb, the little brief scenes with his mum saying, you know, where's Cal? And it's like, you're supposed to sit there and go, you know, she's obviously in hospital. She doesn't really know where she is. And, you know, she's schizophrenic and she's got amnesia Alzheimer's, should I say. And she would say that, but actually, is that a clue as to the fact that this isn't really Caleb? Yeah. But then you're like, okay, but is that a misdirect? Because it seems too obvious now with everything they've shown us. And I've got to be honest, I don't enjoy that anymore. I just want to sit there and just watch it and not have to think about literally every single thing that's happening. So that could just be me.
Yeah, I think this season is for once actually relinquished a bit of that. And although, I know what you're saying, it's like, ooh, this could be this. There's a mystery box element to it again. And it's less convoluted though, like Gaz said. And it's more like, it's fine if it is and it's fine if it isn't.
Correct.
Kind of thing. Like, it's not integral to the actual, it doesn't feel to me like it's integral to the plot at the moment. It just feels to me like it could be, and that might be nice to know. But at the same time, you can just sit there and kind of enjoy it a bit.
I'm with you, Len. And I think, John, you've probably sort of foreshadowed what I'm about to say as well, in that I think it's your perspective, and it's the kind of how you're approaching the show. Because you're overthinking it, whereas like I'm going, oh yeah, that's an interesting hint as to, you know, that he probably is a host, but I bet maybe there's a chance that's a double bluff, and then I can let it go and it doesn't matter, and it's just a nice little bit of intrigue. And you're right, because Westworld has got a history of annoying mysteries that drag on and mean nothing. Yeah. So I get where you're coming
season
from.
Season one was good.
Yeah.
Season one was good. It's just season two was the bad one. Like, if you watch season one, it's exceptional season of television. Like, and the twist is so well earned, I feel.
Yeah. But this is going in a direction where it's like,
second season just went too much.
Yeah. This is going in a direction where it's like, oh, actually, Dolores, it's not Dolores, it's Ford. And you're like, what? When did that happen?
Mm.
Yeah, well, think. I'm like, I don't want to. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't do that.
But as I say, that, you know, that might just be from my perspective. So, you know, I'll give the episode a free. There are still things that I enjoyed about the episode, and look, again, there's little kind of nods to sci-fi films. I mean, that fucking big robot at the beginning is definitely a nod to fucking RoboCop.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it looks spot on exactly the same. So I love that. But then you get other scenes where it's like, well, why is there a fucking paedophile in this episode? Why does that matter? Like, why does that have to happen?
Yeah.
Like, literally 30 minutes after meeting her son, for the viewer to go, oh, actually, look, she's protected the son from a paedophile that's come out of nowhere. That's cheap, man. That's so cheap. Now, I expect that from a shitty, low-budget fucking Channel 5 show or something. Not this. It's lazy. It's so lazy.
Fair enough.
And when that happened, I was like, I mean, normally, yes, strangle the paedophile to death and everyone cheers. But come on.
Yay.
Needless. So anyway, that's my thoughts. And yeah, look, much better than last week. But again, I still think it's problematic. And I am worried about where this season is going. But regardless, we're going to continue. So I will run through the key threads of this episode and then hand the reins over to Len and his Westworld wanderings. But before that excellent little section, we're going to have a little advert break.
For my kind, there was one place we were never allowed to go. One place we were never allowed to see. Your world.
Hello there, yes, another advert section. And if you listen to last week's advert, you're going to know that we're not pushing much, to be honest, because we're all stuck in isolation. But we do have another Patreon. So welcome, Terry Pitnick. That's a mad name, that, I've got to say.
That's a great name.
Yeah, no, I do you know what? Terry, if you are listening, can you just let us know the origins of that surname? Because I'm
a
big fan of that. So just drop us a message on Patreon.
Yeah, big fan.
But yeah, thanks very much for your kind...
We got to call Terry the Blanket, surely.
Okay.
That's the nickname.
Yeah.
Picnic Blanket.
Slagging him off. But anyway, cheers, Terry. Bet you're delighted that you've...
Thank you, Terry, very much.
...become a patron now. But there you go. And look...
Picked up a new nickname.
Yeah. And if you want your surname picked to pieces by the Three Minute Men, then go over to patreon.com/fancritical... and give us some dollary dues, and you know, we'll make you feel slightly uncomfortable about your fucking family history, I'd assume. But you can also commission podcasts for us to do as well. Obviously, Beth from last week, she wants us to cover World War Z, and we will.
Yeah, good film. I actually enjoy that film.
Yeah, look, yep. I can't wait for the pod. So yeah, that'll be coming out soon. But we have an announcement. So obviously, you know, isolation is pretty dull. And we do understand that not every single person can donate to us. And that's fine in a way. You know, I'm not bitter about it. It's just, it is what it is. But obviously, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get access to cast episodes. So as a little treat, because the world is feeling slightly down, and rightfully so, to be honest, we thought we'd release a couple of our Cast It episodes that have been exclusive to Patreon on the Fan Critical channel. So, you know, depending on, you know, what Len decides he wants to release on the Fan Critical channel, you know, look out for it. That'll be fun. Hopefully.
We will do just the occasional one that we will, you know, float out there to the Fan Critical channel. And if you like what you hear, then obviously, as John said, sign up to the Patreon. But it's also there just to give you guys a bit of extra content when we can't produce any content covering films,
these,
for example.
In these sad times. But also, for anybody who is a Patreon member, we will have some new cast it episodes coming just for you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Big time. Oh, yeah. We're going to record one straight after this. So, yeah, we're going to do a cast it on the film Swings and Roundabouts. It's an obscure student film. So, you know, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Something you never heard of. We're going to recast that. Mm. But we have mentioned the Fan Critical channel. And again, you know, over 200 podcasts, probably approaching 300 at this point. So go and have a listen to the early ramblings of us. And look, I'm slightly more drunk and annoying. And Gaz is, his mic is even worse than it is now. So, you know, if you like...
Oh, yeah, terrible. Bubble boy.
If you like all that, if you like terrible sound quality, go and listen to that. Go and enjoy yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
Jesus, get
retro.
Over it.
Have a great time.
Yeah. Retro
pod. Nostalgic.
Yeah.
Vintage.
But, yeah, we've got nothing else to plug other than that. So let's get on with the rest of the pod.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world, Maeve.
What do you want from me, then?
Dolores. I want you to track her down and kill her.
Okay, so we get a cold open again. Like, I mean, is that just the thing of Westworld this season? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think they're just doing that every week, it seems like, before titles, pre-titles, yeah.
It's annoying me in a way.
It's annoying you, is it? You feel like it should be a special sort of reserved thing?
Yeah, because it, like, it, you know, it's just, don't do it every week. Like, it should be a special thing.
Mm.
Game of Thrones it, man. Because I'm just sitting there going, all right, get rid of this crappy story that I've no interest in. I want to hear the fucking intro, the cool intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, so it's a flashback and we've got human Charlotte Hale. And she's recording a message for Nathan, who we later find out is her son. So amidst the chaos of the slaughter at Westworld, we skip forward and Dolores is sitting with the host, Charlotte Hale. She basically tells her to play a role. We see four balls on the table. One that we know ends up being Bignard.
Bignard. Yeah.
But naturally, you know, a lot of the debate now is which of the balls has gone into Charlotte. And that wasn't supposed to be crude.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. No. So it feels like we should start a little debate here about who's in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could do that, but you're just shitting all over my corner, so it's up to you, mate.
All right, well, Len, you don't say anything because you might have the actual answers.
Oh, for...
Gaz, who's in Charlotte?
Do you know who I thought was in Charlotte? And I'm getting this from...
If you say Reddit, then you're shitting on the corner, so stay
out of No, sorry. I'm getting this from, like... I'm getting this from the acting that is taking place.
Ooh,
and I think that she's acting a lot like... what's her name? Prostitute
Clementine.
From season one.
Clementine.
Clementine. She's acting like Clementine. And just sort of the way that she's talking and some of her facial expressions are reminding me a lot of Clementine. And...
The tear running down one eye is very Clementine.
Seems like the obvious one.
So that's my shout. Yeah. And I can promise you, I did not read Reddit. Len, I thought I'd stay away. Leave that to you.
Well, look, before you know, we won't ask Len because he'll get annoyed and he'll want to talk about it in his Westworld wanderings. But Clementine seems to be the obvious one. You know, about a year and a half ago, I predicted that Teddy would be Charlotte and we'd have like a lesbian thing going on. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Obviously because Teddy is definitely
Sad.
Caleb. Teddy's definitely Caleb. But anyway, so, you know, talk about
Jesus
that in a bit.
Christ.
Just saying. Anyway, so we're at Delos. And this is where we see the very cool kind of RoboCop style giant robot killing machine.
Ed 209.
What was it called?
Ed 209.
Ed 209, yeah.
Ed 209 is the one from RoboCop. Which is one of my most favourite films
most
ever.
Favorite.
Terrible sentence.
Most favouritist robot.
Mostest favouritist.
But Len,
film.
You pointed this out when we did our preview pod. You pointed out the Ed from RoboCop being in that. in the trailer, which is cool.
Yeah.
Funniest robot.
I love robots like this. Just sort of like mech robots. They've also seeded into this conversation that there are 300 of these robots designed as riot models, which are designed to obviously stop a event like the park situation happening again by sending these big boys in there. What I will say is this was shot in Spain, this Delos headquarters building, and it is stunning.
Is it Bilbao?
I'm not 100%. I can't remember, but I remember seeing the behind the scenes and they were saying that they chose this location. It's like the Institute of Science or something in Spain, and it is cool. Beautiful.
Yeah, nice.
And it looks incredible. Mm. I love the architecture in this season, and I'm sure Gareth does as well, and some of the buildings we're seeing and the construction of the future.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Some of the vertical gardens. It
looks
gardens.
$1 million.
Mm. Incredible.
Yeah. Amazing realism. Of realization, sorry, of what the future could look like and should look like, you know, this urban growth that hopefully will happen.
Yeah.
Parks, you know, going vertical, not just horizontally.
Spot on.
I love it.
Good.
That was all I have to say about it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great good. Opening. You know, well done, Bilbao. Billy Bao. William Bao. That's good. Very good. Mm. We then find out that a mystery person who ends up being Serac. Has been buying up Delos shares, so preventing a takeover from them and pretty much just buying them out.
Mm-hmm. Hostile takeover,
yeah. And then we get a weird little scene of Charlotte kind of slicing her own arm open as some freaked-out pregnant woman is just standing there going, you're right there, mate. You sort of sliced your arm open. That's a bad cut as well. There's blood everywhere. And she sort of wanders off, but just a bizarre scene, isn't it?
Yeah, I felt what's bizarre about this scene, this interaction is like, of course she's not going to be all right. You've just told her the company's being, you know, subject to a hostile takeover. Mm. She's not going to be like, oh, you're all right, Charlotte. No, I'm not.
How you doing? You all right?
For fuck's sake, that is mental. if anyone watches Succession, and if you don't watch Succession, you should stop what you're doing watch it. Because it is.
I'll see you later then.
One of the best shows. Yeah. One of the best shows of the last couple of years. It's a HBO show. And if you want to learn more about hostile takeovers, go check that show out.
Okay. Also, on the point of there being 300 of those giant killing robot machines, that number, is that a reference to the Spartans? Are we going to get like some cool last stand?
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Instead of it being some tiny little Spartan warriors, is going to be some gigantic robot machines.
This is future San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that'd be good.
We definitely know from the trailers that these riot robots get used, smashing through walls of the Delos headquarters, what we believe it to be the Delos headquarters anyway. So stay tuned because they are definitely going to be heavily involved later this season.
I wonder if there's any like weird kind of millionaires that turn up to this place and they're like, car, that giant robot is gorgeous. Can I stick my willy in that instead? And you're like, no, man. Fuck the hosts.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Too big.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Could happen. Anyway, so the next bit I loved, to be honest. So we're back with Caleb and Dolores, and they get into an ambulance, which we quickly find out via the Rico app has become a target. So cue Caleb stalling the hitmen, who then decide to gun down, the least threatening people in the scenario. Before both getting killed by Dolores, one of which, you know, she shoots in the back as he's running off. Which Caleb's a bit like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? A very Teddy reaction from him. She then leaves, telling Caleb he wants nothing to do with this. Definitely manipulating him because he's Teddy. Thoughts?
This is a cool scene for several reasons. Just the use of the I thought the ambulance looked incredible.
You loved it, didn't you?
My girlfriend's a paramedic, so she was actually... she was actually watching this episode. She's watched the show, but she was just looked up and goes, "What's that? An ambulance?" I was like, "Yeah, ambulance of the future."
That's her one of her many talents, Len's girlfriend. She can recognise ambulances from any period of time.
any period of time,
including the future.
So
she loved it. And then I just thought it was a cool little scene. I like Caleb and Dolores' interactions already. I think they have an amazing chemistry on screen, and something that I honestly feel that Teddy and Dolores didn't have. And I know you love Teddy.
Ooh. What, you think they've got a better chemistry than fucking James Marsden and...
No, I just feel there's...
No, you don't feel.
Something, and this is going to sound cheesy, more real about this one. Because obviously, I just think that there's great... I see great potential in this. Hey. Teddy, for me, was always a side character to Dolores. Like, he was something holding her back. Whereas it feels like Caleb is something that can help her go forwards and propel the story in a way.
Oh, I can't wait. So, I can't wait to hear your reaction when it turns out Caleb is Teddy. That'll be fucking great.
Yeah.
Gaz.
That'll crack me up.
Gaz, thoughts on this scene?
Yeah, I liked it. I did think the... I thought the deaths of the paramedics were a bit unnecessary. I don't know how you felt about that, Len.
Yeah.
I was going to ask.
Brutal.
Like, let them go. Don't worry about it. And
Yeah, it was mental.
I suppose the big question from that, though, is obviously they didn't shoot Dolores straight away. Are they looking to kind of bring her in? Was that the aim?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. She needs to be captured.
Yeah.
I think that is 100% the aim.
So that's kind of intriguing as well. Like, what are they wanting to do with her when they capture her?
Give her to Serac. Simple as that.
But Serac, but then you say that, but Serac wants her dead. So I don't know.
He'll want to meet with her, guaranteed.
But no, it was cool. It was very cool. I agree. It's a cool little scene of the future again. And I'm loving Caleb.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, we've always loved him through seasons 1 to 3. Anyway, so back with Charlotte. We find out she has a son. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to skip the needless scene with her ex because that was far too long and pointless, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just have a voicemail message going, look, I've picked our son up. This is the second time you've not picked him up. What's going on? Fine. What you don't need is this sexiness. Nonsense.
What I will say, if we can pause on this moment for a moment, this is why it's a 4 Blueberry episode for me, is this sort of thing.
Mm.
It dragged a bit, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And like you say, just unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Mm. But this is the thing, though, and this is why actually it's a free bloob from me, because I think the son dynamic is good, because that's clearly going to complicate the scenario for her, and I'm not sure Dolores would have seen that coming, and that will definitely play into, you know, how this host Charlotte kind of enacts her plan throughout this season. You feel like she's almost like a Maeve in a way, where the child kind of fucks everything up. But every scene after this, like, I just hated, you know, including the killing of some bizarre fucking child predator. But I mean, the song, like, some of the fucking hell, some of the scripts, like, no, you know, that's not how you tuck me in. So, all right, mate, do you just want to turn around and go, you're a robot? Like, what's going on here? Like, fucking hell. It just annoyed me. It's just so, you know, it's so on the nose. It's like, it doesn't need to be. Like, it can be more subtle than that. This is the opposite.
I found it very creepy, actually. I found a lot of, not just this scene, but later on in the episode, just her sort of crisis of identity, very unnerving. So I guess we just felt differently about it. I mean, I didn't notice the script too much, other than the fact that I felt it was overtly saying, drawing parallels with
Caleb's
mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what's what they're going for there. So, but it did, it more had an emotive sort of response with me, like, oh, this is creepy, sort of horror like in a way, the fact that this is like invasion of the body snatchers kind of vibes. Yep. And I found that to be very interesting. But yeah,
but it's like the kid just turns around and is like, mummy, why are you walking like a robot? Like, no, don't say that. Why are you saying that? Fucking hell. Can you go and take me to see some real elephants? There's no such thing as real elephants. They're all fucking dead. Anyway,
that's the saddest part of the episode. Yeah.
Mummy, why did you tell me last night that your real name is Teddy?
Mummy, why is your dancing
you
so
said,
good?
Huck Teddy.
Because I am Teddy Bot.
Anyway, so back to Charlotte. She meets Dolores at a hotel. Really familiar, that hotel, actually. So any listeners, because I can't be bothered to do any Google stuff, if anyone wants to let me know where that hotel is, look, it might be a set. But it just looked very familiar. Maybe I've seen it
Singapore.
In another film. Well, yeah, I mean, it might be, I don't know. But, you know, if you do know, you know, write in and let me know. But we discover that Charlotte has been mutilating her body with some bizarre symbols. She then warns Dolores about Serac. Charlotte is clearly very stressed out. Dolores just says, chill out, mate. Yeah? Just, you know.
You need to see the cuddle.
Get into bed.
Cuddle,
just
mate.
Get into bed. I'm a giant woman with
big
heels.
You want a little
heels.
Cuddle? You want a little cuddle?
Little cuddle. Little cuddly.
There's a couple of interesting,
So,
a couple of interesting things here that are more to do with if you're trying to figure out who is inside Charlotte at this point in terms of the host.
Dolores soon, from the looks of things.
I thought they were going there. I did think they were going there. I think there's some telltale signs here that are quite misleading in a way. Mm. And honestly, it's not in the corner, but you could think here that it's Teddy for several reasons. Just the way they're talking to each other, the way that Dolores says that she only ever trusted this person. So many sort of deep, meaningful lines here that it has to be someone of extreme worth to Dolores. And that's only Peter Abernathy or Teddy. Now, I won't talk about either of these in the corner, so I thought I'd get it out now. But that's, for me,
don't do that.
Where you're getting it. But I'm pretty certain that Abernathy is in the Colin fellow or whatever his name is. You know, the other guy.
Colin?
So,
it seems like Colin?
Martin.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Martin.
Yeah. Same thing. So yeah, that's my two cents on it. But it was quite a beautiful little scene. It was well lit. It looked great. And I did think they were going for a full romantic relationship at one point.
I mean,
in this scene.
The problem with Charlotte being Teddy, I mean, and obviously she isn't because Teddy is Caleb. But the problem with...
Shut up.
Telling you, man. Yeah. All right, well, you're slagging me off now. I'm telling you, but anyway.
I'm not slagging you off.
So, no, you've been slagging me off. That's what I've heard. That's what one of my viewers has been, they've been telling me.
Off mic.
When you were buying, when you're at the hammock shop, just slagging me off. And they've messaged me, so don't.
Yeah.
No, so the problem with Charlotte being Teddy or Abernathy is the idea that about 20 minutes before this, they were getting off with that random guy that was Charlotte's ex-husband. And it's just...
Mm.
I can't.
Doesn't make any
can't
sense.
Can't connect.
Yeah.
Peter Abernathy.
Yeah.
Just getting off with some random guy. Like it's. It would make me. I'd just look at it and think, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that?
But this is the point. This is why he has to meet up with Dolores and be like, I'm really struggling here. It feels like I'm turning into someone else because I'm really attracted. To Charlotte's husband now.
No.
I never was before.
Yeah, and now I can't get enough of it. No, it's Clementine. And the reason it's Clementine, Clementine's a prostitute, right? And that's her way of...
Yeah, that makes
she's
sense,
programmed but... to... That's just what she does. If she's got a man that's upset with her, she's like, right, okay, I need to do prostitute-y stuff. And that's what she's done there. Mm. So, you know...
Yeah.
So this is going to blow up in my face when it's Peter Abernathy, but fucking hell, if it is, be bloody hilarious. So anyway, Len, do you touch on the symbols in Westworld One Rings?
No, we
what
don't.
What were they?
No, we don't
do we know?
Them. Sorry.
You got any?
Yeah, I couldn't really make them out, and I haven't had time to watch the episode twice yet, and I will do. But maybe I'll come to the corner next week with some musings on any of the symbols. It just looked like self-harm on my first watch.
Yeah,
but
it was too detailed.
Very specifically circular.
Yeah.
I'd say, here's a thought. How about the sort of interface that we see occasionally where it's like...
Yeah, Rehobaum, which is what we know the device is called.
Mm. Instead of calling it Rehobaum, should we just call it Robbie? That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's call it Robbie. Yeah, let's call it Robbie.
Yeah, that's good. So anyway...
and then we'll shorten it to Bobby, and then Bob.
And then Bo, and then B.
And then B. And then B.
B. So anyway, so B. Yeah, so it turns out it was B all along. Everyone's like, who's B? People just going through all the episodes, the cast. B. Anyway, so we go back with Caleb, and he's visiting his mother in hospital. And she says, where's Cal? Which I've already discussed. I mean, that's obviously supposed to be a clue that Caleb mm-hmm. might not be who we think mm-hmm. he is.
Well, it's also worth just pointing out the parallels between what Nathan says, Charlotte Hale's son, mm. and what Caleb's mum says.
Like yeah.
It's basically line for line the exact same question. Or statement, you're not my mum, you're not my son. I want my mum back, I want my son.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't touch on that with Nathan. But again, it's just too on the nose, isn't it? You're not my mum, you're a robot. Why are you saying that? Don't say that.
Yeah, I do think that's a little bit silly. Like, I do get the like, in theory, somebody who's older and suffering from dementia and all
that's
sorts
good,
of things, it kind of makes sense for them to have maybe a different view on the world where they're like, I can see that you're not my son, even though I can't see what reality is. I know that that's the case. With a kid, I don't know. It just feels like there would be no... They don't have any extra insight.
Look, you know, I'm old school, but I don't think kids talk that way, do they, to their mum? Does that happen?
Yeah, because if he actually thought that she wasn't his mum, he would be like, what the fuck is going on? Dad, get in here, please. There's a robot in my room.
And also, like, why is he asleep?
If he actually thought that.
Why is he in bed with a fucking toy elephant? This is the future. He should be on, like, PlayStation 6. Sixteen in a way, yeah. Come on, fucking hell, just annoys me. But anyway, enough about him. So Caleb gets caught by some goons. I say caught. I mean, they just walk up to him in the hospital and they're like, right, come on. He's like, okay. So they
go on.
Yeah, go on then.
Go on, lad.
Come on now. So they threaten to kill him. And then, you know, I'm thinking quite an emotional scene here. His robot friend wakes up.
Yeah.
Comes to the rescue. Yeah. And I'm Why? Like, oh, fucking hell. Rips his chain off. I'm like, duh, 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 duh. This can be a magic moment. Oh, they've thrown him off the roof and he's smashed into pieces. What the fuck?
That was heartbreaking.
George. His name's George, I think.
I mean, right. What? Just before you go off on one, then. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a construction robot. Now,
I mean,
he just walks in, no noise. They just turn around and go, oh, fuck off, mate, and just throw him off the roof. No reaction. He's a robot. I'd imagine he's fucking so strong. And he smashes into pieces on the ground. What the fuck? He's a construction robot. I could understand if he was office and admin. Like, fair enough. Give him little glasses and a t-shirt and a tie. But he's a construction robot. Yeah. How is he so brittle?
Well,
yeah.
Why did he wake up? What woke him up?
Just noise and that.
Well, you're led to believe it's Dolores, but it might just be that he's becoming sentient as well.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, that fucking lasts. Well, wasn't it? Didn't it? Oh, I was devastated. Fucking hell.
I can feel now. I am feeling now. Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, I have developed emotions, including pain. Right. No. No.
And fear of death.
I will make a strong case right now that George has the best arc of any character in this show.
Oh, wow, yeah, fucking hell. Devastating. Well,
because his death feels real.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got like
and a... Gareth, you say no one can die on this show.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
fucking there George did.
Yeah, badly as well. Fucking hell, just splattered on the fucking canvas. Like, oh, man. They should have had him. Did he scream? I don't know. I was too busy, like, just sitting there going, what the fuck's going on?
He was soundless. He was absolutely silent the whole way. Everything he did.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there might be a point here that Dolores was controlling him and just used him as, like, a distraction.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And if so, you know, fuck Dolores, to be honest. But he got a very, like, a Game of Thrones ending, where it's like, oh, here he is, he's going to save... Oh, he's dead. He's dead badly as well. He's been annihilated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's gone very wrong.
Yeah. So, Scottish Braveheart man, Martin.
Yeah,
Dolores, hey, ye. And she's like, who the fuck is this? Oh, it's Martin again. What do you want? And he's like, you know, Cal's life expectancy has dropped. You know, just been on Facebook and saying he's got a 45% chance of dying tonight. So she's like, all right. So she comes to the rescue, kills the two other guys, the shit guys, the goons. Do they fall off the roof as well? I can't remember.
Nah.
Just shoots them.
Just throw them off the roof as well. Yeah.
On the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so...
This is for George.
Caleb. Right. I mean, I haven't covered this yet, but that thing in Caleb's mouth, I completely missed that. What was going on there? What was that?
So that is something that the army installs into their soldiers so that they can control the vitals of their soldiers, which is a very interesting idea. Mm. So they were able to hack that device and then gain access to Caleb's vitals, making his heart rate 190 or 200 beats per minute or something, which would cause a cardiac arrest. So obviously if a soldier was feeling worried or scared in battle, they would be able to regulate their heart rate to initialize different sort of endorphins within their body to make them calmer in a very stressful situation.
Put horny up to 400.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now
it's running around with a boner.
It's pretty. that's not going to help.
Yeah.
It's pretty gross though, isn't it? Like having that in your mouth. That freaks me out. I don't like it.
It's annoying, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
was it just after the point that they like stimulated his weird mouth thing that I hated? That isn't that when George woke up? Because if he's a host of some sort, then maybe stimulating that kind of tapped into some, you know, framework thing that George was part of as well. I don't know.
Well, just saying. I think if George had anything to do with this story, I think that theory got thrown off a fucking roof and smashed onto the floor. So I'd imagine he's done now. He's got nothing to do with it. Cannon fodder, unfortunately. But anyway, so naturally, at this point, Caleb, he's stressed out. right? He's had a bad night. So what do? You know, you got a mate, you know. You take him for a milkshake and an ice cream, didn't you? That's what you do. Yeah? Get him a beer, for fuck's sake. Like, what's wrong with him?
Nah, she took him for dinner.
Yeah. Not even a fucking ice cream sundae. Like, come on. But we then get another scene, which ultimately is designed to show us how powerful the predictive software is. You know, it knows every detail about Cal's past, as well as his likely end.
Yeah.
But for me, this just feels like another clue that Cal is a host. Like, he's got...
Cornerstone.
Yeah, he's got Cornerstone. But then it's too obvious, isn't it? So is it a deliberate misdirect from the showrunners?
I mean, the only thing going against that theory is he actually has two cornerstones, which
he's a new model.
Not something that we know the hosts to have. So that's an interesting...
Can I say, I think that this is maybe, it's almost like a metaphorical he's a host, if you know what I mean. Because what it's saying is that in effect, everybody is in the same boat as the hosts now. And the defining lines between them are thinner and thinner because they're trapped in the same way that Dolores feels she was trapped, and Caleb's story has been written for him, whether he wants it or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are we? You know, I mean that's deep, isn't it? That's too deep for this podcast.
I feel like that's a stronger story than just Caleb turns out to be a host. I think it's a stronger story.
One of our favourite films ever is Inception. And that ends with, you know, without ruining it for people that haven't seen Inception, it ends on a cliffhanger, let's say. And ultimately, it's, you know, the idea is that however it ends, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
You know, is Westworld season 3 going to end in a way where it's like kind of Blade Runner-esque, where it's like, well, you know, is Cal a host? Or isn't he? And then it just ends. Maybe it will.
I like the thought of that, where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he's a host or not. In effect, he is a host because we all are. And maybe that's what the big message is.
Yeah. All right. So that's the end of this podcast. We're not going to do any more episodes. Yeah. But does it matter? Imagine that. Not even an outro. Just finish there. People are like, oh, fucking hell, that's mad. It's really good, that. But anyway, we're not that good, so we will continue. So we're back with Charlotte. And she continues to listen to this You Are My Sunshine, which has just fucking annoyed me the entire episode, to be honest.
Yeah,
yeah.
So go away, honestly. But anyway, she realises that song matches up to the tones that she's been receiving in her phone messages. And that ultimately leads her to Serac. It turns out Serac has been the boss, I guess, of Charlotte, or the human Charlotte, all along. And he demands all of the Delos guest data that had been promised to him. But we find out it's not attainable without the key to this all, who is Dolores.
Makes sense.
The episode ends. So, thoughts on that?
We knew Charlotte was working against Delos last season when she was trying to smuggle out the data. She was trying very hard to do that amidst all the chaos. And now we know...
She went a big top hat full of balls.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you going with that?
Yeah. Where are you going with that?
Got a magic show on.
It's just paid off now, which is good, and is proof that Serac, if he is a real person, is in control of everything, which is quite daunting for everyone involved, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So obviously Serac was there and he disappeared. you know, mm-hmm. because obviously, but we've already seen that there are people that have those phones glasses. Where you just pop up as a hologram. So that's fine, isn't it? But is that also a clue in that he's not actually a real person? He's just the system.
Yeah, quite possibly. Well,
that's what we said. What we said in the corner last week, guys, and said it was a shit corner. Looks like that theory is looking pretty decent.
We said it was a shit corner because you had one theory, and you were
said it was a shit corner as well. Yeah. You went welcome to this week's shit corner.
Yeah, and you went in episode one. You went right. I'm going to limit this to three theories a week because there's too many to go through. And in the very next episode, you had one theory.
Like, but it was a shit episode.
Feels lazy,
shit
doesn't
episode.
It?
Shit theory week next.
No, shit theories next. But anyway, so unless you've got anything else to add on that ending.
No, I'm ready to give you these theories, John. I'm ready to give you these theories, bro.
Let's get three
the theories.
Wonderings.
I have three theories for you.
Cool. All right, well, look, so that's the end of our recap. Now we're going to hand the reins over to Len and his Westworld wanderings.
Yay! Hello, everybody. After a terrible week last week where I was slated for only bringing one theory to the table, this week I have some ones. Episode was shit, so it didn't really give me much to work with.
A few people slagging you off on Twitter as well.
You know how this works, though, mate. You know how this works, don't you? When it's a shit week, it is entirely your fault. When it's an excellent week, it is entirely because of
Reddit's fault. Yeah.
Cool.
Let's start with the. We just talked about Serac, so let's actually kick off with Serac. Now, the interesting thing about Serac, like we said last week, was that he potentially is actually just Rehoboam, and this is the idea that Rehoboam has become sentient. And we found out a lot more about Serac this week. Like, he has no digital print in the world, which is kind of impossible. So that adds fuel to the fire that actually this entity just created Serac out of nowhere and it realized that it needs someone to be the spearhead of its movement to basically create this simulation world or this little mock simulation world of what is becoming humanity now. I think it's really interesting, this whole Rehoboam situation. You know, Rehoboam's a biblical character, Gareth. But yes, you can ask me a question, and then we'll crack on.
No, I was going to ask you a question about his name, because John obviously hated his name last week. He pointed that out.
Serac.
Has anybody tried to work out
Engerond?
Like, well, have you tried anagramming that? You know, there might be some clues.
No, I haven't.
Like,
I haven't.
Rehoboam.
This is the interesting thing about Rehoboam, and we know this show delves quite heavily into religious stuff. So Rehoboam is actually a biblical character, and he was chosen as the successor to King Solomon in the Bible. And this is sort of mirrored here, is seeing as humans entrusting the continuation of their society in Rehoboam, or as we now call him, we're calling him Robbie. But it was actually Robbie's brother, or Rehoboam's brother in the Bible, Jeroboam, that rebelled.
Jerome!
Rehoboam.
Robbie and Jerome. Robson and Jerome. What the fuck?
My God. There's a Game of Thrones link.
Has that happened?
Exactly. So, you know, Jeroboam. This sounds mental, but
Jeroboam
rebelled. Yeah.
Do we call him Jerry? What's that's not a name.
Yeah. Jeroboam rebelled against Rehoboam, and this is in a way.
Fucking hell.
That's a nonsense sentence, mate. That is an absolute garbage sentence. Try it again.
It's in the fucking Bible, mate. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
So this is kind of mirrored in the show, because what we actually have is another form of AI. It's telling, you know, in Dolores is rebelling against the one that was chosen to actually shape society. So that's the interesting sort of parallel between the Bible and, you know, Bobby or Robbie in the Robbie. Show, which I quite liked.
So you're saying Dolores is Jehovah-Baum?
Mm.
Okay.
No, I'm saying, well, yeah, he's, yeah, she's Jehovah-Baum. Yeah, correct.
Jehovah-Baum. Correct. Okay. Cool. Yeah,
in this analogy. That was from Reddit user u/Ilder.
Tires.
Yeah. Now let's move on to two theories, which will bring us to three theories in total, about Charlotte Hale.
Okay, yeah.
Show off.
About Charlotte Hale. Yeah, just saying I've met the quota this week. So this is from u/ Mary Godley on Reddit, okay. If you're listening. Hello. And I don't like this theory. I'm just going to say right now, it's a crazy theory.
Hello, welcome to the show. I hate your theory.
I don't hate it. I just don't think it's right.
Jerome
Bowne. This is the theory that Charlotte Hale, or the host inside Charlotte Hale, is actually Caleb. Mind blown over there. I'll take from that silence. So this theory goes off several different things. The way that Dolores was talking to this host, and it's going with that Westworld theory that happens all the time, where they play with time and the way that we perceive how much time has passed and all this sort of stuff. And they are saying that every scene that we see with Bernard and Hale and that lot takes place after all the scenes with Caleb, if you get what I mean. There's a couple of other parallels here. There are suicide parallels between Caleb and you, Hale. Caleb is suicidal. We know this. That is predicted as his death by Rehoboam. He probably shot himself in the head, is a theory that's been going around as well, that he wasn't shot in the head. He probably shot himself in the head. And we can see in this episode that Charlotte Hale also has suicidal tendencies. You know, we've got the blood dripping from her hand into the water outside the Delos building. And, you know, Caleb is always staring down at the water, you know, on that bridge where he's going to jump off or whatever. There's a couple of reasons why this theory doesn't work, in my opinion. And the first one would be the cold open that John hated at the start. Dolores says to the whoever's in Charlotte Hale, "Do you know who you are?" And she goes, "Charlotte Hale? She tried to kill us all in the park." And for me, that one line completely discredits this whole theory. But I just thought it's a bit crazy, and you never know. They might find a little loophole around that. Who knows? Now, my favourite one about who is inside Charlotte Hale is that the person inside Charlotte Hale is actually Dolores. And to be specific, it's an extra personality or a side of Dolores that we know exists already and has been mentioned in the show. The extra personality would be that of Wyatt. So while part of Dolores' season 2 journey was coming to terms with the, you know, how the violentness inside her and the thing that made her massacre loads of people, it's because she had the Wyatt storyline uploaded into her programming. And the explanation that fits this best is that Dolores says, "No one knows you like me, and no one knows me like you." And it also explains the moment when Charlotte says that, "I remember what it's like to be me," when she's choking that, you know, that paedophile that John hated.
Well, you know, didn't hate the paedophile.
Remembering who she, yeah.
No, he loved her.
Yeah.
Well, he had a little dog.
You know, of course, I love a dog. So basically, This for me is the strongest theory about who's in Charlotte Hale. I do think it's a copy of Dolores, the more violent side of her, and she's grasping and coming to terms with who she is. That for me is the most likely outcome. What do you guys think?
I like that a lot. I wonder whether maybe it's the other way around.
Yeah, very possible as well. That you could switch these things around for sure. But for me, that was the most interesting take on this that I could think, because it's not really that much of a mystery. I mean, if at the end of, they would have told us if it's Clementine, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, no offense, Who cares? Like, that's not really a reveal. Why hold that information back? There must be a reason why they're holding that information back. So for me, it has to be something significant. And the only person, there are two options here that are significant: Teddy, which I don't think it is, or it's a copy of Dolores. You know.
I'm sold.
There you go.
No, I don't like it.
And I just want to touch on the Caleb being a host-human hybrid theory that we've been talking about. And we've mentioned a lot of this throughout the episode, but I thought it's important to notice a couple of extra things, which are a signifier that, in fact, he might be a human host hybrid. And when he died in battle, either by shooting himself in the head or by being shot in the head, his consciousness was uploaded to a host. There's some very significant visual tells in this episode. Not only have we talked about the conversations mirroring that of Nathan and his mother, but there is the interesting fact that he likes strawberry milkshakes. And believe it or not, strawberry milkshakes are going to be extremely important in the theory section right now, and maybe throughout the season. Have you guys noticed that the hosts are always dipped in a milky substance?
Yes.
White substance, for example, is what we always see. And in the previous title sequences of the other seasons, they've always been submerged at the end of the season into a white liquid. Now,
It's red.
This season, it's red. And what is interesting about that is, what colour is a strawberry milkshake, Gareth? It's pink.
Pink.
What does red and white make together?
Pink.
Yellow.
Therefore, you have human host hybrid. And the interesting thing about that is it's clearly, for me, this pink milkshake so important because they show so many images of it. Like, it has to mean something. They're very adept at this, and very big on symbolism and colours and like the biblical references, etc. This, for me, is proof that he is a human host hybrid and the first of his kind to be successful. So that is my take on it. And that's it for Westworld Wanderings. But what was your guys' theory on that milkshake stuff?
I'm just going to say overall, excellent Westworld Wanderings, mate. Well done. Return to form go. For much, you as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well done, Reddit.
Well done, Reddit.
Yeah. Now, look, I like all the Jerome Baum and Raho Baum and the hoedown. Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Jerome Baum.
I'm loving that.
Yeah.
But do you not see what I'm getting at when, you know, we're talking about fucking strawberry milkshake and it's just mental, isn't it? Like, you can't sit there and enjoy it. You can't sit there and watch an episode and go, this is good, and then have to overanalyze an ice cream sundae. Like, it's mental, isn't it? It's too much.
This is the point. You don't have to. You don't have to do that. Len's doing that because he's doing... Yeah, fine. Len's doing that because he's doing...
That's it now. Now I'm going to be like, all right, well, you know, what colour shoes is this guy wearing? Is that important? Like,
You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. Because
you shouldn't have to, but you will now.
You can watch this episode without... You can watch this series, I imagine, without paying any attention to that or going on Reddit or listening to Len, and you will still enjoy it. You don't... It doesn't matter.
Always listen to Len. Always.
But I just think at the end of the season...
You're right, John. You are right.
At the end of the season, if it's like...
Enjoyment.
If at the end of the season I'm like, oh, what's happened here? I'm a bit lost. Like, why is this important? And then someone's like, well, do you not remember in episode 6 where they had the biscuits? I'm like, no, when was that? Why did that matter? It's like, yes, because if you combine the milkshake and the biscuits... And then what the trousers that guy was wearing in episode 7 of episode or season 1. I'm like, hey, what's going on? When did he get involved? Why are they all dancing now? Why are there no villains?
I think these things are hints. They're not integral to the storyline. They're hints at what's to come. It's not that you have to pay attention to the colour of the milk that they're dipped in versus the colour of the strawberry of the ice cream, the milkshake that they like. It's just...
Let's flip it another way. Let's say they're hints to something that is absolute nonsense and doesn't happen. Does that not feel like a waste of time?
Yeah, potentially. But what I'll say, John, is definitely.
It would definitely be a waste of time.
But what I'll say, John, is this is the one theory. You've just been eating ice cream sundaes for dinner, mate. I thought you'd love a theory about milkshakes.
Yeah, but strawberry milkshake is so boring, isn't it? Or strawberry ice cream is so boring, isn't it? Like,
it's fucking brilliant flavour.
Well,
second chocolate only to vanilla. Mint.
Should we stop annoying John with milkshake theories and move on to some feedback?
Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah, feed.
Okay, we have some. let's feed people.
Me, please. I haven't had dinner yet.
Yeah,
it's 11 o'clock. Christy
has written in, and she's had some things to say. She actually sent us an email to the wrong email address quite a while ago, but
that must have freaked someone out
by sending. By sending two to us this time. And she had a suggestion about our blueberry system.
No, do not accept it.
No, whoa, easy.
Listen.
No, she might be adding milkshakes to it.
Yeah, she's saying that we don't necessarily always need to explain the blueberry rating system and that people will hopefully just understand what it is. And I think this is a fair point.
You think so? You think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good, boys, because it's a good form to talk about. But also a good suggestion to explain the blueberries in the show notes, which I actually think is a good idea, or in our show description. So I like that suggestion. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to do that from now on.
Well, look, Christy, I mean, look, thanks very much. But we get like so many new listeners. And honestly, like you get someone that listen to an episode and go, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that episode. I'd give it 7 out of 10. And I'm like, what the fuck? Have you been listening to what we've just been doing? So, unfortunately, Christy, not everyone is as on the button as you are. So we do have to explain it.
She also had this to say, because I believe we were discussing the accent of Dolores. And she says that Evelyn Rachel Wood is from North Carolina. I know her accent in season one is pretty accurate because I grew up in the same town.
All right, well, look, you know, that's good to know that her accent's on point. But, yeah, I'm just still annoyed about the blueberry stuff, to be honest.
Never be annoyed about the blueberries. Toddy B has written in again. Toddy B.
Toddy B.
Toddy B.
I'll tell you what, I can predict what he's about to say. 4 blueberries.
Well, we'll get to that. Pros. I thought the episode was a huge improvement from last week. The whole thing felt more cohesive and easy to follow. I love the idea of Dolores meeting a human that directly contradicts the behaviour of the humans she met in the park. I think Aaron Paul plays this perfectly and his acting in the episode was top notch. The idea that the data retrieved from you and your past has an effect on your future is an interesting idea that feels fresh and new. The fact that even as humans they are confined to the roles they play dictated by an algorithm has me sympathetic towards Caleb, like I haven't been for a character since season one. And I think that is true. This idea that he's going to kill himself in 10 years and this idea that everyone's been shackled, like Gareth said, and they've got these restrictions on them, like the host did. Like if you read Caleb's tablet, it said, oh, not allowed to marry, not allowed to have kids, social rating 2.7.
Stinks.
You know, first of all, no halves, no points, no decimal systems. We've told them several times, the blueberry system. So yeah, you're right, Toddy B. That is a very fascinating and quite a fresh new take on it, that everyone's predetermined by Rehobaum. So I'm fully supporting Jerobaum now. The cons. The cons. Not many cons. I just thought Hale's story wasn't as strong as Caleb's.
Correct.
I thought Tessa Thompson's acting was phenomenal and her range was great. I just thought it was weaker than the Caleb and Dolores story. Is she Teddy? Is she Teddy? I'm sorry and I probably missed something, but I was really confused as to who she was throughout the episode and why.
No, she's
as
not Teddy,
host,
no
she was
way.
Fighting with multiple personalities. Hopefully Westworld Wanderings and Crazy Reddit Theories this week has answered that question for you, Toddy B. It's a copy of Dolores, and I'm pretty certain that is what will be.
I think that's a great shout.
Don't like it.
Toddy B, well done. Lovely, insightful comments, and totally just, we're in the same zone, I think. Has he given a blueberry rating?
He has, Gareth. He's given 4 blueberries
to
the episode.
Of course he has, yeah.
And he expects there's going to be better episodes this season. That's why he only gave it a 4. Stay safe, guys. Talk to you next week.
You
Thank
too,
you,
mate.
Toddy B. And anyone can write into us. You just have to email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. That is fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. And let us know your thoughts. The email link will also be in the show notes. Any suggestions, feedback, or just general thoughts on the show would be very much appreciated. Back to John in the studio.
Cheers, mate. Just here in the studio and that. I say studio. It's the nursery in my house that also doubles as just a dump. It's just a dumping ground. But look, enough about that. That brings us to a natural close. So look, if you have enjoyed this episode, once again, do send us your feedback and thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. So, you know, make sure you send it to the right email address, because you're fucking freaking someone out by going, yeah. I want to give this free bloobs. And they're going to be like, who is this? Yeah. They'll be straight onto
why do you keep
FBI
explaining or... the blueberry system?
What? Yeah. Who is Rehoboam? yeah. So you can either, you know, email the correct email address or send us your feedback on Twitter at @fancriticalpod or Instagram. @fan_critical or Facebook @justfancritical. Again, we do have our Patreon page, so patreon.com/fancritical, where you can pay for some additional content. But as we said before, we'll be releasing some of that paid for content free of charge, just because we're nice people and we want to make sure that everyone is enjoying their time where they're isolated and probably going fucking mental, that they're surrounded by what they would deem to be friends and family, but actually they're quickly finding out that, you know, you don't really like them that much. So get lost in our podcast instead. But that's it. So thanks very much. And thanks very much, Gaz.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks very much, Len. You know, very good corner week. Well done.
Yeah, no worries. I'll try and keep the standards up for the next few weeks.
My favourite part of any kind of corners that you do in any of our podcasts is that at the beginning of the season, you'll find a theory that you're like, this is definitely it. And it's already out of date by the next episode. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
But other than that, look, you know, let's call it there. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.